that's when I really became, prayer became so big because prayer just turned into just
ranting.
Journaling became a thing because I was like, I'm going to go crazy.
Is that where you came up with your blog?
Actually, literally, my boss read it. She's like, are you okay? I was like, oh, I love it here. I'm sorry.
From your whole blog altogether, if someone read every single thing you wrote, what would be the main takeaway that you hope that they got from it?
I think people's strength comes from sometimes leaning on others, and it's not weakness.
When you used to look at people's social media while you were gone in Kenya, at these people on like the island places, have you ever maybe subconsciously thought about it being selfish?
Like, okay.
Welcome back to Ministry Reimagined. This was an interesting episode because Sophie, she went abroad in student missions, but she didn't have a typical student missions experience. Apparently, the topic of student missions has been very controversial in the motivations behind why people do it, if it's ethical, do they need to train their volunteers more, can people do student missions for selfish reasons. In this episode, Sophie tackles some of those controversial opinions. And she also uncovers what made her choose the location she went to and what made her even feel the pull to serve at all. Hey, Sophie. How you doing?
Hey, Celeste. I'm doing good.
How's your school year been so far? It's only been like 4 weeks.
Dude, it's felt like 12 weeks because PTE school is a lot.
I bet.
Yeah. This week that just passed was really, really, really busy. But we're living. We're surviving.
Because you didn't start in PTE, right?
No, I did.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. You've always been PTE.
Yeah. I was a PTE undergrad, and I was 3+3 on the accelerated track, but then I just took a year off. Honestly, that was the best thing that could, not just for, like, myself, but...
For your schooling?
For my schooling. I think I would have actually been burnt out so fast.
So that little break was was needed.
Yeah.
Would you even consider it a break? Because I know...
Well...
From like, school, maybe.
Yeah, a break from school. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm doing this other thing. But yeah. I mean, it's been interesting and... I know that you didn't even ask, but coming back, adjusting back to what school is, it was also hard for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could probably talk about this later, but just like what it felt like coming back.
Yeah.
Disaster.
Okay, well, first we'll talk about what you came back from.
Yeah.
Because you went to a year in missions.
Mm-hmm.
And where'd you go? That was in...
Yeah, that was in Kenya. It was in Southwest. Yeah, south of Kenya, something like that. But near the Masai Mara Reserve, I don't know if people have heard of it, but just an animal reserve in Kenya, and it has different gates around the borders of the reserve, and one of them is in a little town called Sekenani, and that's where I stayed. It's a girls' home. It's there in the town. It's a girls' home for girls who have experienced trauma that are there. Because maybe their home life isn't safe, or just for other reasons, really. And so girls stay there, and then also there's babies there that we take care of, because in Kenya, a lot of times if a parent or a mom just doesn't want their baby, then she'll just kind of leave them on the side of the road, or just abandon them in any, there's so many different ways.
So you would just find these babies?
The people usually would, and then they would either call, like, I don't know, the child protective agency or whatever. And then they'd get into contact with my boss. And then usually her and one of the other workers there, they just go out to the town. It was called Narok. It's like an hour and a half from where we were. So they would just drive out and then pick the baby up and then come back. But yeah, that's basically the bulk of where I was. So basically I was there as a volunteer because they have full-time ladies that they stay 24/7. They're taking care of these babies mainly, and they get a week off a month and a month off a year, but other than that, they're there with the babies 24/7 in the actual girls' home, and then they also do different worships with the girls that are there, the older ones. And then but yeah, there's also other stuff on the property, but basically my job was kind of more with the girls, the older girls, because the ladies that are there full time, they're there to take care of the babies and make sure that they're, you know, being cared for like a mother usually would. But in terms of just interaction and just building connections with the girls, there's not really people that are getting paid for that. So, yeah.
Wow.
That was us.
So it's all volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into what inspired you to do that.
Okay.
But so let's go back. Let's take a little step back.
Let's take a step back.
and talk about, yeah, what made you want to do that? Go
to missions. So my 2 years ago, I originally wanted, when I was doing 3+3, I knew I wanted to take a year off in between. And I wanted to go to Argentina to study abroad because some of my cousins are there and the language, like my family is half Argentinian, half Uruguayan. So I just wanted to have that kind of experience. And then I think it was getting like towards the end to where I had to kind of, deadlines were coming up where I had to either apply for PT school and just go straight into grad school or deadlines to apply for ACA. Yeah. Low-key, I was not feeling the pull on either of those two things. And then, because I was like, I mean, I could get, that had been my plan for most of my undergrad. And then I was like, why do I just not feel excited for either of these things? And then I think over, man, this was so long ago, over, I think it was Christmas break and then a little bit into January, I think people just started talking to me about just the idea of just student missions or maybe like some aunt or uncle who wasn't really my aunt or uncle over Christmas break would just be like, hey, I just think that every young person should take a year off to serve or stuff like that. And I just like, kind of feel like hear that around. And same thing, I would go to like assemblies. And then I remember I never considered student missions like that really. And then I remember I went to a PT assembly and I think some of the students were talking about how they had gone and then they had come back. And one of my worries was leaving school and coming back to grad school, that I would kind of be just like beat up by how bad it was, you know, school-wise and curriculum-wise. And I don't know, it just gave them, when they were talking about that, they did that and then they came back and actually one of them was low-key excelling. And so yeah, that kind of just made me think, okay, a lot of the things that I was like, okay, I'm hearing it a lot more. A lot of the worries that I would have, maybe they're not as bad. And I knew for sure that it was going to be something that was way more fulfilling than PT school. Well, whoa, Dr. Ferreira, that's not what I meant. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a use of my time where I'm helping others. Because also I think I desperately needed that kind of reset in my life, because I think the last year that I was here for school, I was involved in clubs and I was also like doing school and I was also doing music around campus sometimes, but not like leading or singing or anything. I would just play.
And then, hey, that's a big thing too,
you know, but like I mean it was time out of like my schedule. But yeah, but I'm very much of a person who would always be making lists and making schedules, and I was always busy and I always had something else to do, or even hanging out with friends, it's just like it fills in all your time. And I feel like I was kind of almost just addicted to being busy, and I just had so much of like a productivity just need, and I just needed to be doing all of that and just be on and on and on and making lists and whatnot. And we were talking about this earlier, how like an undergrad I didn't really feel like my spiritual life was very personal, even like growing up. But yeah, that just wasn't there really. And I think that just the idea of taking a year to do volunteering and do something for someone else was definitely a reset that I needed. I was so obsessed with myself and what I had to do, in a way, pretty much, because I think that's just, it's what it is. If you're like, no shade or whatnot, but like sometimes people who are kind of addicted to that productivity, it's like you're just thinking about yourself even if you don't think about it. Because I was like, okay, I need to do this and this and this. So I was like, yeah, I need that kind of reset. So I think after that one DPT assembly, I went over because my friend Sadie, she worked in the department, and then I was like, hey Sadie, like I just had an idea. And I was like, what if I did student missions? At the time, I just started dating my boyfriend and he was thinking about doing student missions anyway. So like, I already knew that like this, the next year was going to be long distance. And, I think, what was it? Yeah. So I talked to her and I was like, hey, like I want to do student missions. And then like, as soon as I kind of like said it out loud, I was like, this is way more, I felt more of a pull to do that than any of like any excitement or lack thereof for doing any abroad or any grad school. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, this is something that I'm saying, okay, I kind of feel like a pull and this is, you know, exciting. Mm-hmm. I want to do it. And then, so I told Sadie about it, told Jeffrey about it. And then they're like, yeah, I mean, do it. And then I called my family like the day of. I was like, guys, emergency. I was like FaceTime them. They're like, what is going on? I was like, I want to do student missions. They're like, okay.
I was like,
let's go. But yeah, and which also, like, I know that my parents, they were never the type, because I know that for other students that have gone, sometimes their parents will say, what's the use really of taking a year off, especially time-wise, money-wise. It's just sometimes it's not worth it, sometimes yeah. in a parent's eyes. So I was kind of, I knew my parents weren't like that, but I had never explicitly heard them say yeah. that they weren't like that. But it was nice to hear that as soon as I said it, they're
the support, supportive. Yeah. yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So that was cool. So then I just did that. And then I remember I didn't know what necessarily like where I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. I knew that I wanted to work with kids. That last summer, I had just spent my first summer working at a summer camp, and I was a counselor. And that was a fun time. I liked it. It was yeah. stressful time, but I liked it a lot. I liked working with kids that way, especially in the way that sometimes kids don't have mentors otherwise, or just people that they can kind of look up to mm-hmm. and kind of, you know, I don't know. I never really thought about this, but I guess sometimes in camp, if you're not a person, if you're not a kid that has that kind of supportive person around mm-hmm. them, at least for a week, someone has your back yeah. that's older than you. So yeah, so I really loved working with kids, and I think for a while I wasn't really sure where I wanted to go. But then I remember one time I was sitting in chapel, and this is actually how I got to pick my location of mm-hmm. whatever. I was sitting in chapel, and then this lady came who was the director of a children's home in Zimbabwe. And then I remember during chapel I looked up their website, and then I was looking at where it says like volunteers or student missions, and because, you know, there's the option of going to an island to teach mm-hmm. and outside of that I don't know what there is with kids. I mean, there's Bolivia, there's the kids home in Bolivia mm-hmm. but yeah, I didn't necessarily want to teach. I don't know if that's exactly my, I don't know, I just mm-hmm. wasn't feeling it. And then it was basically saying that what they needed in the home in Zimbabwe was, you know, someone to kind of just volunteer, just to be there for the kids, help them with school, I don't know what else, just basically be their friend.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, oh, I can do that. I just did that for like 8 weeks.
Oh, true.
And then, so yeah, so I was like, okay, this is something that I'm definitely interested in. Like, it's not teaching, but it's with kids, and mm-hmm. it's something that, you know, I was excited about it. So I went up to her, the lady that was in charge. And then I was saying, oh my word, like, I really want to do this. I told Tila, our the previous SM coordinator, that I wanted to do that. She's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's ask. And then I emailed them. Then she emailed me back. She said, okay, well, we're going through some structural changes, and I'll let you know later on, like, how, basically, I'll just get back in touch with you.
Yeah.
And then I think I tried, like, one more time. And then I just never heard from them again.
Oh, was it past the deadlines at this point?
It wasn't past, well, it wasn't necessarily like a deadline, but it was definitely like around the time closer to the end of the year. Yeah, where I should kind of have an idea because I had to start planning.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, at this point, I know Jeffrey wanted to go to Kenya and he wanted to go to the hospital there. And then I remember one time I was like coming out of class, and then Tila called me and she's like, hey, so like Zimbabwe's kind of close, like mm-hmm. that door is kind of closed, we kind of can agree on that, right? And then I was like, yeah, I mean, don't know what else to say. Yeah. they kind of ghosted me, but but
that's not a good plug for the SM department that they'll just ghost you.
They won't ghost you. This is God shutting a door.
Ah.
But actually, I don't know, because I think they were going through some structure changes, so maybe they just didn't want, or they didn't need volunteers for that year or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it just kind of redirected me in a different way. But you should definitely sign up. I mean, that's just how, like,
yeah,
I don't know, that's just how you see God opening or closing doors sometimes. But yeah, so she's like, hey, there's like an orphanage, or it's just, she didn't know necessarily that it was like a children's home. Mm. I think people, they just usually call children's homes just like orphanages, but I think even the one in Bolivia is not an orphanage. But anyways, but she was like, there's a place in Kenya. I've never sent anybody there. This is the second year that they've been accepting SMs. It's very new. Wow. I haven't sent anybody there, but I feel like I can definitely say that you'd be a good fit there. I can see, I can confidently send you there. I think you'd do very well. I was like, Kenya. hello. And then I was like, okay. And I was like, you know, Jeffrey's going to Kenya too, right? Mm. And then she's like, yeah. I was like, wait, that's it. Yeah. She's like, yeah, I mean, that's fine. You guys are like in different spots. And I was like, oh, facts. Okay. I was like, you're right. So yeah, so that's just kind of how it came about. And then I immediately, she gave me the contact for the lady, Kim DeWitt, who was in charge, who is in charge of the Omalika Trust where I went. And then just immediately, just I had so much more information about that place. And then she set up, I think within a week or something, I had like a video chat with her. She answered all my questions and I was like, oh, this is really nice. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's how I got there.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. I will say, there's something that you said earlier about being busy and always focusing about yourself. And mm-hmm. I find that that's a big struggle, especially for pastor's kids, mm-hmm. because that's, you get sucked into the lifestyle of like mm-hmm. always doing. Even if it's for ministry, mm-hmm. it can feel very like, oh, it's all about me and what I'm doing for the church.
Mm-hmm. I think something we were talking about earlier mm-hmm. before we started recording was, yeah, about pastor's kids. I mean, I don't know if I ever saw myself really doing ministry, because I think that as a pastor's kid, I don't think I ever had any negative experiences about people putting too much pressure on me to do certain things. But I think that what I had, or what I felt, was, I guess, I had kind of just an automatic, or just a given kind of
expectation.
I wouldn't even call it an expectation. I feel like, because no one ever told me, like, you have to do these things. But I feel like just my involvement in certain things, whether it was at church or, I don't know, in clubs or at school, mm-hmm. I feel like that was kind of sort of a given when it came to do with ministry.
Yeah.
Or just extra stuff in the church that we would do. It was kind of a given that I would be there. So I think because of that, I think, not because anyone told me to, that it was like this, but I think ministry, or even just faith and religion, mm-hmm. just became kind of, I guess, a given. So I feel like since I got used to that, I never really bothered to make it personal, or just to see the value in, yeah, just it being my own thing that I'm choosing. I just thought it was just, yeah, just, I'm in it, because mm-hmm. that's just what I do. So, yeah.
Was there ever a time where you wanted to go the other direction?
No, I don't think so. I mean, and I'm assuming by the other direction is like where people usually have a kind of view that PKs will either be super hardcore into ministry or just go off the rails.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Because, I mean,
you just never had the desire.
I
don't
know
why.
I just never did. Yeah. Just like, you know.
Huh.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, maybe this is a rough question. Okay. If you weren't a pastor's kid, do you think you still would have found Adventism?
Ooh. If I wasn't born into the church, mm-hmm. or I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like another thing about feeling somewhat that, I guess, my religion was kind of a given, I guess, which is something that I think that 100% should be prioritized, especially in younger people, just the idea of critical thinking, because I don't think that I was ever told not to critically think. I just kind of never did.
Yeah.
So but yeah, like I'm saying, like, all this was very just like internal. Like, I never had, my parents, bless their heart, they've always been very supportive, like you saw in like their reaction to student missions and stuff like that. Like, they've never been like the controlling kind or anything like that. But I don't know, since that kind of stuff was sort of just automatic, or just kind of, I just did those things, I think yeah, that critical thinking of like, you know, why am I doing this? Uh-huh. And like, just even if it's, yeah, I still agree, but at least like I kind of challenge it in my head a bit, just to make sure. Which I feel like oh my word, this is so dangerous because I feel like this happens so much. I don't know. It 100% has to do with just mainstream and media and whatnot, but like, people are so quick to take something that they hear and just regurgitate it without being 100% sure that they agree with it or that they know that it's true. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So, I think with more critical thinking, I think yes. Because I think even my boss, Kim, at the Trust, mm-hmm. she was raised Adventist. She's not anymore, which I don't know if this is like something that she just talks about necessarily. Mm-hmm. She keeps the Trust run basically as SDA. We have church with the girls on Saturdays, and Friday night we'll have Vespers. And so yeah, so she keeps things along with the values and just the, you know, the different practices that we do as Adventists, because she says that even though she has personal qualms with people in the church, she says that it's like the closest to the truth that she's ever found in a church. So wow. yeah, that's just like a little something, but yeah. Very I think if it wasn't for being raised and just kind of taking it as it is, mm-hmm. I think yeah, outside of it with searching, I think so.
Yeah,
I like to think that
it's hard to answer because yeah. you never really know, mm-hmm. but it's just something I've thought about, mm-hmm. and I wonder.
Yeah, and yeah. I thought about it recently too, like sometimes I'll be in church and I'm like, how would this sound to someone who's not in the church yeah. right now, you know?
Yeah. What did you think of about that?
I don't know. I will just say though that I think I know that I 100% do believe in God and the value that it has on my life, mm-hmm. Having a relationship with Him. And I know the things that I know about Adventism versus other denominations, I've seen the why of why we believe, like, for example, like different beliefs, evidence in, you know, in the Bible of why we believe those things. So I know for a fact that, like, I'm not just kind of just taking something and just like, oh, this is uh-huh. what we believe. Like, this is
like it actually makes sense.
Like, it makes sense, and yeah. it has support in the Bible. And yeah, and I know that for sure being a Christian and like specifically in the denomination, like, I do mm-hmm. believe in those things. But just as a Christian and having a relationship with God, I think my year away, and especially now that I'm back and booked and busy, like, genuinely, I don't think I would have seen, if I wasn't gone last year, mm-hmm. I don't think I would have seen the value that having a personal relationship with mm-hmm. God has, just because of how much sustenance it was. Because sometimes I genuinely, like, even now and when I was gone and working every single day, sometimes mm-hmm. I just, humanly, it is not always possible to be a good version of yourself if you don't have that kind of, you know, like, in the morning, God, please help me not to blow up when a kid is trying my patience. Wow. You know, sometimes it's just, you can't. Yeah. Or, like, sometimes, like, you're just drained and tired and you're like, I don't know how this is going to come together, and just, God, just work it out and it'll come together, and mm-hmm. it happens, and somehow you have the energy for it, and then you crash later, but like, it, you know, God made it happen. Yeah. But like, I know on my own, if I'm trying to stress about those things and trying to be a decent person, it's just not always humanly yeah. possible. So yeah, that's how I know for a fact that I'm better with God as my strength and wow. sustenance every day. Because like, yeah,
when you were, you know, I wouldn't say, would you count, I was gonna say when you were abroad, but I mean, yeah. I guess you were abroad, yeah. but it's not mm-hmm. like vacation. Mm-hmm. How has that improved your relationship with God?
I think at least the first couple of weeks when I didn't really know anyone or anything or the culture, of course, being born in a pastor's family, I was used to moving around. And I was used to moving countries because we moved from Canada to mm-hmm. here. And so I think I almost had this sort of just like pride that I could handle culture shock, you know, or just like not even culture shock, but just being somewhere new and starting yeah. from scratch. I was like, I've done this before.
Like, you wouldn't feel homesick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was thinking, you know, I've done this time and time again. I think I would just tell myself that, you know, this is one of my strengths. Mm-hmm. I can adapt. I can, you know, this is going to be a fresh start and it'll be great. And the first 2 weeks hit me like a truck.
Wow, the first 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think also because I literally had to delete social media because I would see people that were already out in like the teaching schools and like the islands that I opted not to go to, and they had big groups of student missionaries that were all there together, and mm-hmm. they had, for context, where I was, since we're next to the reserve, we're on a 4-acre property and we have walls around the property because there's animals.
Mm.
And because, like, there's not, like, a gate around the reserve.
They're what kind of animals?
Like, lions and hyenas and baboons and elephants and warthogs.
Did you get to see them?
Mm-hmm. Because I went on a safari twice. But outside of that, like, at night, I would hear the lions and hyenas outside my window. Wow. Like, they'd be... Like, you can hear them at night. You could see elephants just outside our wall. I saw some warthogs. One time, I was coming back from... We had to walk 30 minutes down into the village because we were just kind of on a hill. Mm-hmm. We'd walk down into the village to get our groceries every week. Groceries meaning just fruits and veggies and bread, pretty much.
Wow, that's all you eat.
Yeah. I mean, in town, which is an hour and a half away, you could go and it had more of like a Meijer-esque, you know, Quick Mart, it was called. So it was kind of, you could go grocery shopping,
yeah.
But it was kind of like for the month because you had to pay to go all the way there and back.
Oh, man.
So we had those things, and then, but just every week we just get eggs, bread, and sometimes some yogurt if it was in town. And then, just some fruits and veggies. But yeah, so we were coming back up, and oh my word, we had to walk, and on foot, I remember one time we came across, it was like 6 to maybe 8 just baboons that were just there. And I had heard people say, yeah, like baboons are like dangerous or whatever, like you don't wanna, I was like... Yeah, so we saw animals.
So they're more concerned about the baboons instead of, like, the lions?
I don't know. I think the lions just don't really hunt in the day as much. Because it's hot, I guess. I could be totally wrong. Because I'm not...
I mean, hey, you were there for a year.
You'd think. But, like, I don't know. But, yeah, but all that to say, like, outside, during the hours where it was not... So between sunset... and sunrise, nobody went outside because that's when animals are really moving a lot more. And then during the day, I had the breaks for lunch and for supper to make my own food. And it was maybe like 2 hours, but like it wasn't really that much time to just walk somewhere and then come all the way back. And I didn't even talk about like my schedule, what I would do during the day. I would help with the babies in the nursery. Sometimes I would help with my boss's daughter. She's 4 and she would need just one-on-one, just because she's older. She's very smart for a 4-year-old. So just like some little preschool time.
So you were kind of a teacher.
Somewhat, yeah, yeah. And then sometimes in the kitchen, just be helping to cook for the girls and just the staff. And then what else? We had a tent. There's a global, I think, company called Days for Girls that sews reusable menstrual products and distributes them wherever they're needed. And one of the locations is on the property. So we'd go over to the tent sometimes and help out and sew the little kits.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's kind of what I would do. And then in the evenings, we would help with the worships every evening and like Vespers in church or whatnot. But yeah, all that to say... So I was kind of in there 24/7, and I think that kind of routine, it hit me hard at first because like I would see other people that had kind of like the freedom to go in a lot of different, just explore in general,
go snorkeling.
Yeah. I was like, I cannot look at this right now. But yeah, so it was hard at first going there, and I mean, like, the people were... And Kim was great, and my other SMs, there was 5 of us in total the first semester. And, you know, we did little things to stay connected, but, like, at first it was really hard because I didn't know anybody. I kind of felt, I literally had a thought, like, one of the first few days, when I was just in bed about to sleep, I was just like, why am I here?
Yeah.
Like, did I come to the wrong place? Because I'm not. This feels so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was just having a hard time.
Yeah.
I was homesick for sure. And I thought that I just didn't know what I was doing. And yeah, it was hard. And the first Sabbath especially, it was super, super hard because we were in church, and then the entire church, it was like 2 hours long maybe, and it was a very small church, but like the entire thing was in a language that I didn't know. So I think even like on a Sabbath, I just felt really disconnected from like everyone, and especially God too. I wasn't really like, I was so close to crying when I was in church. I literally just brought my Bible with me. And then the entire time, I was just, like, reading my Bible, just something random. It was not, had and nothing to do with the sermon because I didn't know what the sermon was about.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I have to read something or do something with my hands or else I'm just going to, like,
yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I forgot what the question was.
If you found, did you find that, like, that, because I guess it was kind of your own personal experience, even if it wasn't, like, what the church was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, did that make you feel closer to God in a way? Because then it is personal.
Yeah, it did. Because, like that, in all those times, and even when, there were so many times throughout the year where I was just, like, I'm not, probably not doing the best job, because, like, I don't know. Sometimes I just didn't know how to put on a worship that was, like, actually meaningful. Mm. Or, like, I just thought it was just hard to, like, connect with the ladies that were there sometimes because, you know, they were speaking, like, their own language or even dialect because, like, they were, there's tribes also. So, like, the tribes have their own dialect, not just Swahili.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I was like, I don't know, am I just not trying enough to connect with people? Am I not trying enough to be super on it in all my jobs? So yeah, I think that's when I really started turning to God a lot more, because in those moments, there's no one else around that you know that is kind of there, because everyone else is, they're 7 hours behind doing something else.
Yeah.
They don't, I mean, obviously everyone was super supportive from back home, but I don't know, it's just different when I have to explain the context behind it already. It's just... And also having to wait till everyone's awake over there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so in those moments, I just felt really, really alone and very lonely. So, like, the only person that was around really
24/7.
Yeah. So that's when I really turned to him for. Yeah. I think I was talking about this to some people that were returned this year, that went last year, that one of the main things that I saw in the change in my relationship with God was that I would vent to him so much. I would just kind of word vomit. It became so conversational because I was like, I have no one else to rant to like this way. Even like the other SMs around me, like sometimes, but I don't know, it was different. We all had different schedules and like we would be there like cooking and, you know, doing stuff together. But like, I don't know. It just felt so different to have this kind of just mental fog or just cloud, I guess, that of everything that I was feeling. So yeah, so that's when I really became, prayer became so big, because prayer just turned into just
ranting.
I was like, this is all that's going on in my head. I don't know what I'm feeling. I don't know what's going on up there. I just need to make sense of something. Journaling became a thing because I was like, I'm gonna go crazy. And yeah, that really just kind of held me together.
Is that where you came up with your blog?
Actually, I don't know. So, there was a lot of people that were, just incredible in giving, helping with donations for me to be able to go and for me to be able to, just, cause they don't give us a stipend there like some other places. So I had to also raise more money to be able to have groceries every week and stuff like that, just for like small expenses. And people were just incredible and just a big blessing in how much they gave. So then my parents were saying, you know, as some kind of thing, like in return, you should have some kind of blog so that they can kind of see what you're up to. Not just the people that just gave and helped you be here, but the people that are praying for you and like your friends back home, you should kind of have it. And I was like, okay.
Sure.
I was like, all right, well, I have some time. So yeah, I think that's that's pretty much how the blog thing started. And then yeah, I just had fun, just kind of, I don't know, I never did anything like that, but I don't know, I just had fun just kind of putting pictures on there. Mm-hmm. I think it turned into like every week I had some kind of like theme in what I had to say, which I don't know, I never planned them. I just kind of just wrote them. Usually it was just like a one draft and I was like, okay, I'll revise a little bit, but
it was good.
Send.
Wow.
Because yeah, it was just, I don't know. It wasn't ever a super formal thing, but
I think that's what made it so good though, because it was super, it was raw.
Yeah. And one thing that I really wanted to do was also, because I think the first post that I had that I wrote, literally my boss read it, like, and she's like, are you okay? I was like, oh, I love it here, I'm sorry. I was like, no, I promise it's not you. Because like, whoa. The first one I was like, you know what, like, if I'm gonna go through all this trouble to share with people what I'm going through, like, I might as well give them just the raw picture of just like what I'm going through, because you know what, like, it's discouraging to me to only see the amazing parts of everybody who's everywhere else.
Yeah.
So like, if this can help someone else feel, oh, maybe it's fine that things kind of suck right now, because like, that's just part of what happens sometimes, and someone else is going through it like super rough too. It's like, I'll be the person to do that, because I don't know, I was kind of getting really in my head about not seeing the unfiltered side of everyone. So I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna do it just like for me, and hopefully people enjoyed it. I don't know how many people read it or whatever, but yeah, that's mainly the reason why I wanted to keep it so kind of unfiltered and just be like, hey, be honest when I'm like, this week was rough.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it made it more meaningful when I could truthfully say like, this week was good, you know. So
and you weren't like lying.
Yeah So, which honestly, it was so nice to come back and meet with the other SMs that were gone last year, because I don't know, when people ask me when I'm back, you know, how was it, and you know, what was your favorite part, that's just so hard to explain in like a couple sentences, which I'm sure that's what they're looking for. Just like a couple sentences, but like, I don't know, it's just so hard to explain the rough parts. So when I could just be honest with like the other SMs that were back, like, hey, there was times that I genuinely felt like I just wasn't, I just didn't do a good job coming back. Like, I don't feel like I was useful over there. And like, two or three other people, they said the same thing.
Wow.
And I was like, thank God. Not for you, because I'm sorry that you felt that way. But like, that felt like a hug to hear. So I don't know. I think it's important to keep it super raw and filtered, especially with other people that are doing the similar thing as you. Because yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that everybody else was chilling and, you know, whatever. But like, yeah.
Yeah.
People had it rough also, like, even in the nice spots. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I mean, I know you kind of said that you hate this question, but what was kind of the best part of it?
Oh, the best part of it? This is going to sound like super vague. But I don't know. I think part of me kind of compartmentalizes my time there and my life here. I got back and I was like, okay, like, I know how to do life here. And like, sometimes I'll like genuinely just like forget that I was over there, you know? But I feel like the world that I had over there, I don't know, it was just amazing. I think second semester, when we had less SMs, I reached out a lot more to the ladies that worked there. And I just started to have a lot of fun with, like, you know, like, joking around, learning a little bit more of, like, the language, and, you know, getting a lot more candid with the girls, and, I don't know, just having those kinds of moments. I don't know, it just felt like my own world over there, and I think the culture is beautiful, and I think, yeah, I think that was my favorite part, just having my own world there, that I just love that culture so much, and I love those girls and those ladies so much, so it's just, like, yeah, that's just, like, a little special.
Aw.
Yeah.
So you don't regret going at all?
No.
Not at all?
Definitely not. No. It's awesome. I literally met someone in the CAF who, he said he's Kenyan, and they have, like, some kind of, like, Kenyan Sabbath, and then they were saying that they had, like, these, like, some foods there that I was like, I didn't realize I miss eating that, like, every single week.
Wow.
It's so, but yeah.
You could always make it here.
Facts.
If it's the same, I don't know what kind
of food. I think, yeah. Literally, like, chapati is just, like, flour, water, oil, salt. But yeah, let me know
if you ever make it.
Yeah, I got you. But yeah, I think that's what it was. It was just like my own world to experience, and I don't know, that day to day, just like there's a specific way that they cut this leaf. It's low-key like kale or spinach, but there's a specific way that they cut it really, really thin. They kind of like bunch it up like in your hand like this, and you're kind of like going like that, and it's really, I cut myself a lot of times. But I don't know, just the feeling of like when I tried it, and then they were like, Sophie, you're literally Kenyan, because how do you know how to do that? I was like, you know, just like, that's, I don't know, just being so immersed in a culture that way. Like, it was just like my own little corner, because I mean, no one else really knew necessarily what it was like day to day here, but like, I don't know, like, I know the feeling of what it was like day to day, and I love those little girls. And the, oh my word, one of the babies, literally the ladies there, they just knew him as my son, because I don't know what kind of when I got there, he was like 6 months old. And I think, I don't know how babies pick favorites, but genuinely, like, he was like, what, like 8 months, maybe like 10 months by the time I left, and he was like starting to walk or whatever. And I was like his favorite person. Literally, I would walk into a room and he just like and I was like, you're a baby, how do you recognize me? But like, if I was in a different room, he would know that I was there and just like try to like follow me. It was so cute. I miss him so much. But yeah,
man, they gotta ship him over.
I know. His name is Kelvin.
Kelvin.
But yeah,
that's so, so cute.
Yeah,
did you ever learn the language over there?
I learned like little, with context, I could kind of understand a little bit of what was going on, because I knew like some vocabulary. And I knew what the words were for who, what, when, where, and why, stuff like that. Or I knew like basic commands, because I think there was, towards the end, there was this one girl who was there, she's like maybe 8, 10, who just didn't really speak a lot of English. So when I had to give her like a command of like, oh, come here, or like give me that, I would use those words. But yeah, just stuff like that. Like if someone asked me, if I heard the word for like where, then I could be like, excuse me, I was like, they're probably asking me about this or whatever, so I could kind of answer.
Yeah,
but it wasn't super, it wasn't a lot. But
I mean, hey, that's from nothing to that, that's pretty good.
So one of the they had men that worked on the, they lived on the property, because they did like grounds, and because they have a big garden that they get a lot of their fruits and vegetables from, because of course they're non-profit, so they kind of have to be as self-sustained as possible. So they work in the garden, they do grounds, they do security. And there's this one guy who, oh my word, like, I swear, it was his life joy to, like, he just always talked to us in Swahili, and we'd be like, and it was the funniest thing ever for him, and I don't know why, but, like, I tried, because they have different greetings. That's another thing, I learned different greetings, because it's just, like, you know how we have, like, hey, what's up, how are you, how you doing?
Yeah.
And, like, those little different variations. They have the same thing, so I just learned those different kind of variations of those, so I could, like, understand, and they had, like, their own respective like responses to them. So yeah, so like every single time that I would see like any of like the men that worked there, I was like, oh my word, I'm gonna be tested, and then like I have to try and like, okay, which one's the response for this one? But yeah, it was cool though.
Wow, did they ever like, if you said the wrong response, did they ever make fun of you?
I think no, they just like correct me and then just kind of just like laugh, but like not like laugh at me, but just be like, haha, it's okay, you just don't know it. So thanks. But yeah,
wow, that's cool. So nice. How do you feel about, because from my experience, when I've heard people talk about student missions, I've heard people correlate missions with very selfish reasons.
Okay,
how have you heard of that, have you experienced it at all?
I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like I've definitely heard someone say, oh yeah, this person just wanted to go just to take a year off of school, or just to go, I don't know, like live somewhere.
Like when you were, when you used to look at people's social media while you were gone in Kenya, at these people on like the island places, have you ever like maybe subconsciously thought about it being selfish?
Like, okay, I think at first, like that first week that I was like, I can't look at anyone else because I'm in the pits right now. And like, if I see that, you know, they're all doing this one thing or snorkeling or something, I'm actually gonna go into depression.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I definitely did think of it as like, it did seem more of like a vacation. But then, like, coming back, like I was telling you about, there's so many like horror stories that I heard from those people that went to like those islands specifically. Wow. That I'm like, okay, yeah, like it looks like it would be like super like vacation island paradise, but those people went through the pits too. So like, I don't know, that just kind of very quickly, like, you're, no matter where you are, like, even this girl who was like in Hawaii, like, she was talking about it like a couple weeks ago, that she's like, I had just like a hard time the entire time. Wow. Because of just like an interaction with like, I don't know, this certain person or whatever. But to it being a vacation, I would say it's not. I don't think it is. I don't think, even if you're on an island somewhere, I don't think it's a vacation. Because, like, obviously there's very, very many highs. But I can't think of people that have gone and that haven't told me some kind of just, like, horror story. So, in general, I'll say the rule of thumb is that, like, I don't know, kind of like me, how I was saying, like, I want to be telling people that, like, hey, I have extremely bad days, and just kind of, like, put that out there.
Yeah.
But I also have extremely good days.
Yeah.
Like, I heard that from people that had gone to those islands, too. So, like, I don't know. I wouldn't say that it's a vacation like that at all, because, like, people had it rough. Like, no matter where they were. And I think I was just comparing myself to what I thought was, like, all, just all their highs.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So to that, like, to people who say that, like, they just think that it's going for a vacation, it's hardly ever.
Yeah.
But I think your question is a little bit more towards the motivation behind going.
Yeah, let me rephrase that, actually. Do you think that people can do student missions for selfish reasons?
I definitely hear when people say stuff like that, like, oh, they just want to take a year off or stuff like that. And I don't know if I really, like, had too much of that, or if I ever thought about it as much, really. But, like, at the end of the day, like, living somewhere else that you've never lived before for a considerable amount of time, like, that's hard to do just for kicks and just for, like, I just want, like, a year off. Especially because, like I said, it's, from what I've seen, what I've heard, there's times that people have it rough too. And, like, there's a lot of, like, rough experiences. Whether or not, like, I don't know, at the end of the day, I think it just comes down to, like, the fact that the person, like, they're still there, they're giving that time, they're volunteering. And I don't think that however way that they got there, I don't think that should paint that person in any way.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's a big thing to just not live at home. It's a big thing to just be in a new place that you've never had experience. There's a lot of times that, like, student missionaries, they're just thrown into jobs that they just, they didn't know that they were going to do those things until they got there.
It's like you're saying, it is different to go abroad somewhere, but it's also, it's not just like they're going abroad. It's not just like ACA. It's like they know they're serving.
So, like, I totally, like, if you're a person that's saying, oh, this person just wants to take a year off, this person just wants this on their resume, this person just, for whatever reason, I get it from the outside. But at the end of the day, like, the person's choosing to spend their time, you know, for something that's not just mainly just benefiting them. I mean, sometimes, yeah, you'll have, like, some people who maybe, like, when they're there, they don't act as, I don't know.
Like, you can tell they're not there to serve.
Yeah, it doesn't really reflect the kind of, like,
Have you had that experience?
Not with me, but, like, I definitely heard, like, when people say that, like, oh, they had the experience with, like, one of their SM, like, their co-SMs, that they just weren't really in it, or they're just doing, like, their own thing, which, you know what, that is really hard.
Yeah.
Because, like, obviously it kind of puts everyone else kind of in the same group, especially for, like, future SMs.
Yeah.
like the people that are there are kind of expecting someone with a similar attitude. So I feel like in that, I feel like if you're going for selfish reasons, at least be aware of your impact on the people that are around and, like, you know, their, how that's going to affect how they see volunteers and people that come after you. Mm-hmm. Like, when it starts affecting other people that way, I think that, yeah, that's really bad.
That's really bad.
No, but yeah, when it starts affecting people that way, where they start seeing, like, yeah, they can't really trust the students who come to serve as much because they've seen in the past that some people maybe don't handle responsibilities really well, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, you do have to be aware, as with anywhere, of, like, the impact of how you're acting. It's not just how you look. It sometimes it's how other people look too. Yeah. So for that, I would say that that's really hard. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, if someone came for, like, a reason that, I don't know, just maybe just wanted some kind of breath of fresh air and maybe do something outside of themselves. And it wasn't necessarily saying, I heard God call me to go here. And it wasn't necessarily like that. But the person's there, they showed up, they gave their time. And I think that there's no reason at all why someone should say that their reason isn't as good as something else, or their reason impacts how much of an effect that they have on where they are. I think there's no reason for that, because at the end of the day, like, I don't know. I mean, however much that you want to get out of the year, like, that's really up to you. Mm-hmm. However much you want to give, that's up to you. And yeah, some people really have amazing spiritual encounters, and some people just feel an amazing sense of fulfillment that they just helped other people.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
I got you.
So, like, to that, I would say, those people, I would say, no, it's not a vacation. The people that aren't necessarily saying, oh, God, 100% called me here. If it's not like that, that person is showing up with their time. Mm-hmm. I say, you know,
they could have been anywhere else.
Yeah, they could have been anywhere else that entire year. Yeah. And you know what? Like, those are amazing people that go. So, yeah, like, honestly, like, if that person is using their skills and, like, they're genuinely enjoying and, like, they're helping people around, to people who haven't even left and are saying that, I'm just saying, you know, what's it to you? And for the people that maybe don't have as much of a, they don't feel as much of a responsibility of how they're acting, I think that I definitely understand, but I don't know. I think that's just more personal. I feel like everyone just always has to be aware that their actions, it's not just you, it impacts a lot of other things.
Yeah.
So for that, I definitely see that there's a challenge there, but it really just depends on how you carry yourself. I think the motivation, it can, you know, change, but yeah, it really just comes down to just how you're, like, what your actions are.
Yeah.
So
let's say, from your whole blog altogether, if someone read every single thing you wrote, what would be, like, the main takeaway that you hope that they got from it?
I think that as people, we were not meant to go through life alone. I think I definitely saw that in my relationship with God and how that changed over the entire year. And I also saw that in my relationship with other people, which I think this is something that I talked about in one of my last entries. But all throughout, I think people's strength comes from sometimes leaning on others. And I think that sometimes the view that we have, or at least that I had before going, was that my strength was doing things on my own or adapting to things on my own. And I think that just, it really flipped when I was just gone, and I just, sometimes I had nothing else to do but to lean on someone else. And I think that as, yeah, like I said, as people, you weren't meant to go through this life by yourself and figuring things out by yourself. You need people to lean on. You need people to see other perspectives of, you know, you see the world with in more of a 3D way when you have other, the more perspectives you have. So there's no way that you can just make it through. I mean, there's a way, but I don't know. I would just say, you know, strength is 100% leaning on community, leaning on people, leaning on God. And it's not weakness. And I think that before, I think I used to think that it was, especially because, I don't know, I like making sure that I'm doing things either myself or just doing things the right way. And asking for help, I totally get that it's hard. But yeah, that's the main takeaway. That all of that just, that whole experience is just like, you don't have it figured out, lean on others. And it's not a sign that you're weak. It's actually more of a sign that you're, you know. Yeah. And I think even like coming back, I feel like leaning on, talking to other SMs actually made coming back so much easier. When I got back, I was so anxious, and I think I got reverse culture shock. And I was kind of thrown in. I was here in the summer. I was a lot of different places. And then I had missed a whole entire year of what my life was here, and I felt very out of place because obviously the place that I had just come from wasn't my home. But my home here felt kind of foreign because, I mean, it looked different than when I last was here. So I just kind of felt totally lost.
Yeah.
And I don't even know when that ended or if it did. I think I'm still adjusting, but I don't know. If I had just kind of tried to fight that off on my own, I think I might have sunk deeper. But like all of the work that I tried to do over the summer in trying to say, okay, what is my identity, and make sure that it's not, you know, what my home is or where my friends are or what my purpose is, because, you know, it had changed because I was doing something every single day that I could see that it was fulfilling. Then I came back and I was like, what do I do now? What am I doing? And I think that through all the summer, I like tried to kind of pull myself out of that. And genuinely, over one weekend when we had a retreat where all the SMs had gone out last year, and I was hearing a lot of their experiences, and also in coming back, and also in how they felt when they were out, all those, I think that did more for me feeling a lot more okay and healed and not as lost. That did more in one weekend than I really could do by myself over the whole summer. So I think, yeah,
that community is big.
It's really big. And I think, yeah, I don't know how it was for anyone else who was out, but in anything, any task, any relationship, any kind of struggle, or I don't know, anything, it's worth it to lean on other people and to lean on God for sure.
That's a big thing. I've heard from other student missionaries too that coming back, it feels so weird because you don't know. That's a whole year where you weren't here, so you don't know, like, if something crazy's happened, you're just like out of the loop.
Yeah, exactly. It did feel so weird. Yeah. Like, I was anxious for a lot of the summer, and I was very, very insecure because of it, and just very, very lost. And yeah.
How did it feel, like, when you were still there, but right before you came back? Did you feel, like, excited, and then when you were actually here, you got scared, or were you even scared over there?
Even over there, I think. Wow. I don't know, because, like, it just kind of felt very abrupt, just, like, on a random day, I'm just kind of picking up and leaving. I don't know. I think my brain kind of just broke, I think. Wow. I'm just kind of, like...
Would you have stayed longer there if you could?
I think that was a good amount of time to stay. I think towards the end, I was definitely feeling ready to come home, because, I mean, I was missing home, and I was missing my friends, and they were graduating. I wanted to be there. I definitely do want to go back to Kenya in my life, but yeah, I think that was a good amount of time to be in one place without it feeling like...
This might be like a controversial question for you.
Okay.
I don't know if you can say you don't have an answer if you don't have one, but is there a way that you think this ministry of missions could be done better?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to think of the things, like, during this year, because I think I was at a slight disadvantage sometimes, because, like, for example, like, I know that the SM department, they, you know, they're trying to do a good job in making sure that, like, you know, students, they feel like, okay, like, we miss you and whatnot, and, like, they're sending out care packages. I just couldn't get mail.
Wow.
I could not. And, like, in the country, just they just don't do that kind of thing necessarily.
They don't do mail.
I mean, they do.
They just do. Not from the US.
I guess. Mail, but like where I was specifically, like I was just so far out there.
Yeah.
Like
it wasn't getting
in
to
the
you.
Bush pretty much. It was not gonna get to me. But I did get one care package though, but I had to long story. But yeah, that was just like kind of hard sometimes because like things just couldn't be sent. So like when people were sending letters and stuff like that, it just couldn't be sent. But like that has nothing to do with missions in general though.
Still, that's something that could be better.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I don't know. What are the SM... What's the SM Club going to do about, like, building some kind of mail something? Nah. It's just, I don't know. That's not their thing. But I think maybe...
Maybe a better question might be, what do you think could be done to make missions more appealing to others?
I honestly, I have no idea how this process goes, actually. So there's not much that I can do in terms of, you know, giving advice or suggestions because I generally don't know how it's done. But I think sometimes, like, you know, people always say, like, go in with, like, an open mind because you're not necessarily going to know what you're doing. Like, some more communication on, like, what information is helpful. Kind of preparing the volunteers a little bit more in terms of like what to expect. And I think maybe it depends location to location, like how much community you have, but just like, I don't know, like basic things that can be done to kind of make them feel a little bit more taken care of, because obviously I know they're coming, they just like out of their own free will, so it's not necessarily like they're your kids or anything. But sometimes it's hard if you're not really sure how anything works, like at least at some kind of a little like crash course or some kind of way to have not mentorship but like some kind of guide for people all over the world on like how to the best ways to I guess
prepare
explain all the responsibilities, because there's like some stuff that like I know me or like some other people like we wouldn't really know that it was our responsibility until like later. So just like, you know, just being a straight shooter in that way. And like some ideas or suggestions of some ways to make them into like integrate them a little more. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah
But like I don't know, that's hard because it's not much that like the SM department can do in terms of like preparing. It's just so hard because like everyone is going to be in a different spot or something.
But still, you're saying if they can have like more information on each specific place, it'd be
more helpful. Or like,
I think it'd be cool if there was a person from each of those places that could like maybe write out something or have like a talk or something.
Yeah
Like, because I think I've heard that AU has, like, maybe some Tuesday choice where they talk about student missions. And so if they have, like, one person that went to each country or each place, that might be cool.
I think that would be cool. Honestly, yeah. That's another thing. Like, the SN department, with people that have come back, having them a lot more involved in... I feel like they do a good job, though, with, like, you know, telling... stories and, you know, chapels or churches or whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, that kind of just, like, information of, like, not just, like, stories, but just, like, for people who are interested, just talking about what the location is, because that's kind of how people keep hearing about it and keep wanting to go. Because I was in the first, I was the first person from Andrews that went to my location. And since I was out, I couldn't necessarily advocate for it here as much, so I don't think anyone from Andrews went this year. But yeah, so just like, yeah, like of course talking about like the testimonies and experiences, but like having, and it helps for students to be doing that too, like to kind of putting it out there, just like, this is what the location is, if you're interested in this type of thing, like this is what I experienced and whatever. But I don't know, just
that would be good, because even like little things that you wish you knew or wish you brought when you went or things.
I think that'd be cool. Just like using those past experiences, like not only like for testimonies and stuff like that, but just like for information
general
and kind of
knowledge.
Like guidance and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I think that would help probably people who are looking into doing some kind of volunteering, like not just what it what the description is like on like He Said Go, the website, but also just like hearing from someone else like this is what it's like.
Yeah, I think that's big. Would you be open if someone asked you to do that?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, like,
that's a plus.
But yeah, I think it's a good idea because I mean, you know, like people, places like this where, for example, like where I was, like outside of the volunteers, no one really has that kind of time necessarily to be forming those connections with the girls versus the babies. So, yeah, I think it's the more you kind of get that out there, the more people like know what it is. Like you want all these places, they want more exposure and like publicity and whatnot, because like if not, how are people going to know and how are people going to volunteer? So yeah, just you know, more information on what those places are and like it's a good idea to go, not just like just sharing what happened there. Yeah,
that's good,
because they gotta keep it going.
They need volunteers.
They need volunteers.
Yeah. For this last question, what would you say to somebody that's looking into student missions right now?
Ooh.
What's like your piece of advice, or what's something they should bring that maybe you didn't know about?
Okay. Okay. To someone who's looking into it, I would say, first of all, we were talking a little bit about motivation before. It's okay if it's not like God clearly pointed out this location for me. If you have some kind of desire to just do something outside of yourself and just serve, and it's not necessarily that it's like perfect, or even if you have a desire to just have that year of a break and do something that's not just around you, like don't feel any type of way about your motivation necessarily in that sense, if that's something that maybe someone may be worried about.
Yeah,
like, you know, you're there, you're willing to spend your time. That's just what I think service is, you know? So,
yeah,
to that, for sure. Yeah, don't think about it too hard that way. Just go for it.
Yeah.
Ask around. And I know people say this all the time about, like, don't have any expectations or whatnot, but it's generally true, you know? I think you have a big thing is putting your pride aside when you're going out there. Like, I think, for example, like the whole expecting or not expecting to feel some kind of shock or some kind of homesickness. Like, yeah, just putting your pride aside and saying, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I think it was very humbling, humbling year for sure. Mm-hmm. So I would say be humble. Don't be too hard on yourself, like, motivation-wise. If you have some kind of desire in any type of way to go, I would say, yeah, explore it for sure. Again, like, if you decide to go, I mean, lean on other people, lean on God. You're not going to get through it just by just proving to yourself or whoever that you can do it and have the time of your life and just do it on your own. Like, it's okay, just chill. You have people around you.
Just chill.
But yeah, like, you have people around you, you have God.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, sometimes it's hard, but yeah, be very used to that idea of just, you know, looking outward. Because it's not about you, really.
Yeah.
I think it's the best thing ever for your life, really.
Yeah.
I think it really, like, for me at least, it kind of decentered myself from my life in a way sometimes. Because, like, obviously we're all human and we're, like, you do usually think of, you know, your own life and yourself and, you know, how things work in according to your life or whatever. Yeah. But, like, sometimes it's just too much and you're just caught up in thinking of just too much of your own self and your own feelings and stuff like that and your own problems and stuff like that. So I think it's a pretty powerful year, and I think it brings out a lot of parts of yourself that maybe you didn't know needed work. You know, I think I've talked to a lot of different SMs about this, that it seems, and I know them, like I'll know their personality, and they're describing the place that they went to, and they're saying, you know, like, this is the perfect place for me to go because I needed to grow in this area. Hmm. Like, for example, like for me, mm-hmm. I was definitely not a person that loved just like staying in one spot. I like being, you know, in a community and out. So being in that spot for me was not where I was comfortable. But I definitely needed to grow a lot in being kind of present and staying with where I'm at now, not just thinking about, I don't know. I don't know if this makes sense. But yeah, just like being a lot more present and being a lot more intentional about just where I'm at versus just where else I could be. Yeah, like where I was, I had to kind of sit with myself and be okay with just having time with myself and being present and not getting stuck in my head.
Yeah.
And I feel like in any other place, I would have had so many distractions that I wouldn't have had to deal with that characteristic of me that I just kind of ignore a lot. Mm-hmm. And versus like someone else that I know who was in Zambia, that she was like, she had to get way out of her comfort zone because she's usually a little bit more like, she's, sometimes she's like a little more quieter, like more chill and like more reserved, but she had to step way out of her comfort zone for a lot of different things. Like she had to figure out stuff like for her job. She had to teach like a huge group of students and she's like, I don't know how to do any of that.
Yeah.
But she's like, yeah, like I needed this, you know? because otherwise like you probably wouldn't have done that. So yeah. Just to anyone who's thinking about that, like, it's 100% life-changing because whether or not you believe that God has any hand in it, the way that it will work out, like, I promise that wherever you are, there's some part of your character that is, maybe you didn't know, you're like, I needed to work on this, but you'll get to. Like, yeah, I don't know how else to explain it, but like,
yeah,
like you'll challenge parts of yourself that maybe you didn't know just because you didn't know needed work until you got into that one setting.
Yeah.
So I think it's, and that's, you might not see it until later when you're reflecting. That's another thing. Oh my word. Reflecting and like thinking and talking a lot more when you're back is such an important thing because otherwise you kind of miss all the things, the ways that you grew because you were with yourself every single day. Yeah. You don't really see how you grew necessarily. Yeah. So, yeah, just be open to, like, it'll be an amazing year of your life, and you will change, but it's maybe because there was parts of you that maybe needed to.
Yeah.
And, but they'll be challenged in the best way, and I think the way that you'll see it is in talking about it and just thinking about it after you're back, which sounds a little discouraging if you think about it. So I'm sorry.
Don't think about it. Just don't think about it. Just do
like,
it.
Like you will have fun moments.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, from what it sounds like, you didn't regret it at all.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
So.
And yeah.
And I think it's very rare. I don't think I've ever talked to anybody that said that they regretted it.
Yeah, and also another thing, I feel like. Yes, obviously you're there for volunteering and whatnot. But yeah, there's times when, I don't know how to say this without like it being too vague and maybe like encouraging something wrong, but like, yes, sometimes it'll be hard. You don't always have to make it purposefully hard for yourself. Like if things are going well, celebrate that things are going well, you know, like you don't have to, like for it to be a triumphant, amazing testimony, it doesn't have to be that you went through necessarily a whole bunch of hardships for it to be like a really positive volunteering experience. Like, yeah.
Have you found that you've done that? Like you've made it worse than it was?
I don't know. I actually don't know.
Interesting.
I'm sure that I have.
Yeah.
I'm sure that I have because I feel like with this whole idea, especially if you're someone who likes to have like the whole spiritual aspect behind it, the idea of like being a martyr and just, you know, holding on until the end, and I feel like that plays a lot into like, you know, asking for help and like if you're in charge of something, for example, and maybe you're saying, okay, like volunteer wise and like SM, like the idea of being like, okay, I did this all, like it was hard, it was, I had to grind up for like 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and sleepless nights, it had to come together, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. But, like, if there's people around you that can help and whatnot, like,
yeah,
you know, people are there. You can ask and you can, like, it doesn't always have to be a martyr situation, you know? Like,
that's interesting. I feel like it is really easy to make it, like, hard on purpose, mm-hmm. just so that you have that crazy story that you can tell somebody.
I don't know. I don't think people do it consciously ever, mm-hmm. but I don't know. A huge thing, like I was talking about, just like pride in that, like, it's big. Like, you don't realize it.
Or maybe even if, like, that thing about wanting to do it alone, just so you can say that you did it alone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That might be something.
And, like, I doubt that anybody ever wakes up and is thinking that specifically. But it's mm-hmm. just, like, it's just something that's just in your brain sometimes. Yeah. Because that's just, I feel like that's just how we're wired sometimes. Yeah. But, yeah. Hmm. Just,
yeah. I could see that.
Be prepared, ask for help.
That's good. Is that what you wish you knew when you went? Like, you wish somebody told you that?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. I think so. Mm-hmm.
I will say, this is my last question. I know
okay
I said the other
more.
One was...
That's okay.
I'm just curious because I feel like I've also heard that they wish, especially when they go to teach, and it's, again, like someone that maybe has never taught before. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there should be more training or qualifications for student missionaries?
Yeah. I think so. Because, I mean... I don't know. I don't know. I genuinely don't know how any of that worked.
The teaching.
Mm-hmm. I just wasn't part of that. Yeah. So, because I think they broke us off when we did the training here. So they did, like, everyone who's teaching go to the...
Okay.
So I don't know what they talked about. So
maybe they did.
So maybe they did. So that's why. Part of it, I mean, like, I can say whatever, but I wasn't there. So it's like...
That's fair.
I could be totally off base. That's why I'm like, you know. But, but yeah, I mean...
Do you feel like you were underqualified? From whatever training that they had for you?
That's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I did feel underqualified a lot, but I don't know if, like, it was necessarily... Because it's just hard. It's like, there's teachers and there's not teachers... Mm-hmm. But, like, how do you individually, like, prepare each
for
person
each
for whatever?
Place.
It's just, I understand that it's hard to do. Hmm. Like, I definitely felt like there's moments where I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I wish someone would taught me how to do this. But I don't know. Sometimes that's just how it goes.
Yeah, maybe that's just part of the experience.
But I don't know. Maybe if worship is such a big thing for, at least for me, it was putting on different worships, mm-hmm. or being spiritually leading, I guess, in some way, because I know that probably everyone had to help out with churches. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know. I don't even know how you teach someone how to do that, but some kind of preparation of that. But other than that, I don't know what the teachers were doing to prepare.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, if you're not an education major, you're like, I don't know how to do this. So, which I'm sure that they give I don't know how much grace that they're given when they're actually there too, if they have no idea how to do it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that was just something I was curious about.
Yeah.
But
I mean, always in an ideal world you would want to be as prepared as you can for the job that you're going to, but sometimes I do understand how sometimes it's just not realistic to do. So
that's interesting. I feel like at some point, you know, I think it's obviously good to know what you're getting yourself into, mm-hmm. but also at the same time that adaptability, mm-hmm. the ability to adapt to mm-hmm. these things and to, you know, just be open to serve wherever you're needed.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of the testimony itself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I obviously don't know what it's like. That's why
I think, and also another thing that can be taken with a grain of salt, of course, mm-hmm. is, like, again, like, you're there to serve, but you're not necessarily there to, like, work yourself, like, into the ground. Like, obviously taking breaks is good, and I'm sure that people who are directing should have an idea of that, like, you know, again, that's another thing, you don't have to, you know, fight till the end and just, you know, work all the time for it to actually be good. Of course, I mean, with a grain of salt, I mean, don't take it the other way that you're, like, never working, but, you know.
Yeah That's good.
It's just something else that I thought of.
Yeah,
it's like sometimes I would feel, like, guilty during my breaks. Because I'm like, oh, I should be using my breaks to be out there making connections, like, with the girls or whatever. But, like, I don't want to get burnt out either.
Yeah, because so, then what help is that? Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, sometimes I think I would get in my head about that too, because I think there were some girls that were staying for less time, so I think they had a bit more energy to be out there a lot because they were going to be there for less time. Mm-hmm. So it's like kind of making use of it.
Yeah.
But I definitely would feel guilty about that sometimes. Like I could be using my free time for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That's just not always realistic. I mean, you're in a new place. You're missing home. You have time to connect with home. You have time to, like, for yourself to make sure that you're okay, not just, like, going 24/7.
Yeah.
Sometimes I forgot that I was college age because I was just, like, a person of, like, authority to the kids for, like, so much of the day.
Wow.
That'll come back, and I was like, I'm still, like,
21, a child.
22. Yeah.
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 Huh. Thank you so much for your time. I think that was awesome. I highly encourage to go check out her blog. Yay. She had a lot of good insight from there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening to the end of this episode. If you enjoyed it and you want to hear more about other student missionaries and their stories, let us know in the comments. Let us know what you think and what you want to hear more of. If you did like this episode and you want to support this podcast, you can subscribe, rate the video, comment, like I said, and share this video with your friends that might like it. Thanks again for watching, and we'll see you next time.